This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of course I want you on camera with us, buddy. Good morning. Bennett Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great, great, great to be back in studio with you all. And, Adam Klug is filling in today for Paul Reindel, who was in Las Vegas. And I said, why aren't you on camera? And he said, do you want me to be? I said, yes, I want you on camera. I want to see your facial. I can't see you over the thing because you're short. And so Paulie's very tall. I can see Paulie. I can't see you. So I'd like to see you on camera as well. Plus, I don't like just Ben and I in the frame. That makes me feel much better, the three of us. We are Ben and Woods. We are on 97.3 The Fan. And we are very happy to be here with you this morning on the Padres flagship, home of the San Diego Padres. I'm Woodsy. That is Adam Klug filling in again for Paul Reindel. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, man.
Glad to have you back, Woodsy.
Good to see you. It's great to be back. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us. Benjamin, so good to see your handsome face this morning.
Welcome back in studio. It is definitely good to have you. I think you should say the flagship station for the series-winning, non-sweeping
correct
San Diego Padres.
Correct. So close, but yet so far yesterday.
So we don't get any overdue guttural yells?
No.
Screams?
No. I got to bury the guttural yell for a while. My pipes aren't, everything hurts right now. I feel fine. It's good to be back. I'm still a little foggy. one of my pitchers yesterday for the Tier 1s, Ben Bruff, threw a shutout. I forgot by the time I got home that he actually threw a shutout. My brain's not quite, back to where it needs to be. I did not like really broadcasting from home. People might think, oh man, that must have been cool. Just wake up. Roll into your office and sit in there. I was glad I got to do it. So
I was
that I
one
could
of those people
on.
Who thought that would be cool.
It's
wake up.
So not.
Roll into your office.
It's so not.
And when the show's over, you're already
home.
You don't have to drive anywhere.
Well, I mean, like Friday, yes, I was home. And both my kids were home. And my wife says, oh, I got to go run some errands. And I'm like, but I don't want to do this show and then just be with these turds all day long. But I did. It was a great weekend, man. My wife finished yesterday the Rock and Roll Half Marathon, the 13.1 miles. And
what was her time?
I didn't even ask. She did say maybe 2:30, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, let's see. The winning men's time for the full marathon was right around 2:30. So she's just almost half as fast as the fastest man in the race. Seems
man.
Pretty good to me.
Absolutely. Bro, finishing it is such such an accomplishment. Somebody tweeted me last night, dude, you should run one with her for solidarity and love. And I said, I'd rather eat my own poop than run a marathon or a half marathon or even a 5K would be, I have no interest in it. None whatsoever.
Well, I just don't want to break my streak.
Of not doing it.
Of never running a distance race in my life.
Correct. I mean, don't want to break mine either.
I'm like Lou Gehrig, or I'm like Cal Ripken. I'm crazy. Like, I'm not going to break that streak ever.
Like, it would be like me telling Hannah, yeah, to prove your love to me, I need you to come play for the Tier 1s next year. Like, she doesn't play baseball. I'm not saying she couldn't. But I'm not going to ask that of her. And if she asked that of me, I want you to run this with me. I'd be like, then we're splitting up. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it.
I would walk it, but I think that would be silly to just walk.
You'd be there for 6 hours.
Walking through the streets of San Diego all day long. So will the band still be around 7 hours in when I'm finally crossing the finish line?
I had no desire to be a distance runner. Oh, and I'm surrounded by these lunatics because I talked to my brother yesterday. They're coming in town. My parents are coming in this weekend from Texas. And my brother's coming in with his family and his wife and his two, my nephews, Oliver and Owen. Good kids. Can't wait to see everyone. My brother calls me yesterday. He goes, hey, real quick. Is there a, what do you recommend I run? And I go, I mean, it's San Diego. It's beautiful. Like, you're standing in a beautiful part of town. And I said, just go run by the beach. He's like, I go, how long do you need to run? He goes, 17 miles. And I was like, are you out of your mind? Who are you? Like, what is, he's doing another Ironman up in Cooper's, or Lake Placid, New York. So he's in training. So he's got to do 17 miles when he gets here. I'm surrounded by absolute lunatics in my life.
Just go around the track of a high school 68 times.
Is that right? 68 times is what it would take you.
Yeah. If it's a normal, like, quarter-mile track.
I couldn't do it once, man. I could not do it once. Just my knees hurt. Everything is shot.
How far back would you have to go back cumulatively to add up all of your distance to have run that far?
To have run 17 miles?
Yep. Have you run 17 miles in the last calendar year?
Oh, God.
Oh, God, no.
That's what I'm saying. How long?
No.
He does it daily.
I mean, I had to run the mile a few times in, like, junior high and high school. Since then, I've been on a treadmill a few dozen times. Uh-huh. But in my life, I'd probably say I'm under 100 for sure.
Under 100 miles?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm under 69 easily. Like, easily under, in 48 years, I have not run 69 miles. That is that's a promise.
Now, I walk the golf course.
Yeah, I walk.
That's like 4 miles every time carrying a golf bag when I play.
It's different.
It's not the same.
Not the same. I have great admiration and respect for those that can do it. I'm just not one of them. And really, I have no desire to. If I die and I'm on my deathbed, you know what I will not lament? The fact that I never did a half or a full. Never. I will never lament it. Ever. I won't be sitting there going, God, Woods, you really should have applied yourself and done this. Never. Never. On my deathbed.
What would be the biggest regret right now?
One.
Like, oh, Woodsy, you've got 48 hours to live.
So,
what's your biggest regret?
So the funny thing is I saw something on Instagram or something the other day, and it was like, you know, it was the golf story. Did you see it? I posted it. Guy says he was playing golf and he got cancer. And he said, I played my last round of golf today. Ever. My buddies took me, he goes, I'm weeks away from leaving this mortal coil. And he goes, my buddies took me out, I played my last round of golf. And he goes, so a lesson to all of you out there, do things you love to do, right? And enjoy them. And he's like, I don't regret any of this. Like, I don't regret it at all. And I thought to myself, is there anything that I regret that I didn't try? The answer is, like, unequivocally no. At 48, if the Lord took me today, I'd be like, nobody had it better than me. I had it great. Everything's been great. I have literally done almost everything I want to do. I mean, I've been to, there's places I would like to go. But as far as, like, accomplishments and things, man, no. What about you?
I think you hit on it. I would have liked to have seen more of the world.
Seen more of the world is probably
It's so hard to make time, especially for international travel. But even places in this country I haven't been to. I was just saying this weekend, I've never been to New Orleans.
Oh, you have,
I have to go to New Orleans at some point.
You have to.
I'd regret it if I didn't go to New Orleans and enjoy the Cajun, the Creole food at some point and do that. I've got to do that at some point.
There's no question. There's no question. But laying on my deathbed, when that time comes, I think about it a lot. There's nothing really left that I tried a lot of stuff for many, many years. And I'm like, I feel like I've done a good job.
I've tried less stuff, but I don't regret the stuff that you tried that I didn't try.
That's true. I've accomplished a lot, and I'm happy, and I'm like, okay, that makes me feel pretty good. But the moral of that story was, you know, do things that you love to do and do them as much as you can. You know, this golfing story really, really touched me, and it was sad. I mean, the guy, it was his last round ever, and could only manage a few holes and then played with his buddies and just rode around in the cart, literally doing like a round of of chemo or something in the cart. I mean, it was a terribly sad story, but a good lesson for everybody out there. But yeah, man, really no regrets, dude, at all. And certainly running a marathon or a half marathon will not be on there.
Adam, any dying regrets here on your deathbed? Not that you are, but if you were.
I can't believe you've never been in New Orleans. I love New Orleans.
Who doesn't like New Orleans? Everyone tells me that.
I'm boring. I would like to have seen more of the world, but I'm boring.
I'm also boring.
Yeah, he's also boring.
I don't have any regrets.
None.
Good.
No regrets.
Anything you want to try? Bungee jumping, menage a trois, anything. I mean, all of these things are on the table.
No, my answer to that would also be boring.
Boring. Okay.
I need to buy a house.
Okay.
Can't afford anything here.
That's fair. No, I get it.
Just want to provide for the family, that type of thing. Like I said, I'm boring.
No, it's not boring. You're steady. You're a steady guy. You're a steady guy.
I am. I did something this weekend I've never done in my life. I didn't intend to, but I went to a Hollywood rap party this weekend, and I didn't even know it. We crashed a party.
No kidding.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever crashed a party before.
How's that?
So, Shelly, we went to the desert mm-hmm. for her birthday, over to Palm Desert for a couple of nights, and on Saturday night, she had there's this little place called Little Bar on the 111 in Palm Desert. She said, "That's a great little place. Let's go." So we get there, and it says closed for a private event. And I said, oh, that's a bummer, but it said it'll reopen at 8. So we left, and we came back right at 8 o'clock, and we walked in, and apparently the party was still going.
Of course.
So we're there, and it's a Hollywood rap party for a Discovery Channel show called Alien Alien Abductions Factor Fiction, I think.
Right up your alley.
And they got all the T-shirts and the posters and stuff, but they were having a really good time. They'd been there for a few hours, obviously. They were really happy about it. They saw us, and they said, no, come on in. And they, bought us a round of drinks and everything. Really nice. Now I feel like I should watch the show.
Of course.
No idea if it's any good or not. But, yeah, they were playing it on the screen, and I saw some, UFO-type, looking scenes and something from Nazi Germany. And I guess there were aliens back there, too. So
oh, yeah, of course.
I don't know if it's going to be a good show or not, but it's coming out in June on the Discovery Channel.
So are the rap parties as wild as I have heard? Was there, lines on the table and, naked women running
around?
There
were tacos and chips and salsa on the table.
Yeah, sounds delicious.
There was a clown in full clown makeup just sitting at the bar drinking, which...
Kind of a nightmare.
That was probably the scariest thing I've seen years, actually.
So here's this is just a from now on. We've had this talk. It's almost 7 years together. Take an effing picture. Okay? why do I have I of still am trying to yeah, work his brain, clown, Adam, yeah. into realizing that it doesn't end at 10. When we are off at 10, it doesn't stop. I need to see the picture of the guy sitting at the bar in full gear.
Yeah, just sipping on his whiskey.
It's just training your brain.
Big oversized clown suit. Or he was just extremely heavy, but it looked like he might have had some padding in there as well. The wig, the full makeup, everything.
This is what I'm saying. You're in the entertainment business. We need content. Entertain me.
It does feel intrusive to start taking people's pictures, though.
How about the corpse that we took a picture of in Joshua Tree?
A little intrusive.
It was, but you wear it for a while. Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you had a good trip. Glad you got back safely. San Diego Padres were, nothing short of remarkably interesting this weekend, certainly. I mean, you can't look at what happened in Kansas City this weekend and say that it wasn't the full gamut of emotions from our local baseball club. So I can't wait to get into this stuff with you guys today. But man, it was somebody just drew in the chat. Was it AJ Preller? I'm not putting this one on AJ Preller today, Drew. I promise you, I'm not going to. But we will talk about where some of the blame goes for yesterday's excruciating loss.
I blame AJ Preller.
Oh, do you? Okay.
I do, actually, for yesterday's loss. I'll tell you why.
All right, cool.
We will get to all of that. I'll set the menu coming up. Should be a good one. Hopefully, Paulie is sleeping in and having a good Monday morning in Las Vegas.
Did you see his meal he posted from that place?
I did not, no. Where did he ate at the Korean restaurant that he said he was going to? Would it look good?
I mean, it looks incredible.
Good.
Incredible. So he's having a great time. I saw Megan won a few $100 on the slots, so they're
good
cruising.
Start.
Yeah, great
good start. All right, we'll try to get off to a good start as well. It is Ben and Woods and Adam on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us on San Diego's number one sports station. Let's check traffic with Kelly Danick here on 97.3 The Fan, and we'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wondering, Woods, if you have at least something in common with Mike Schilt.
Let's see. I'm taller.
Yeah, it's not, I wouldn't say physical resemblance is what I'm thinking.
I don't alibi things as much.
You don't alibi things? That's not bad. But I feel like you like, more than me at least, you push back at critics. I just kind of like ignore it usually.
I'd say so.
You're getting better. You have pushed back.
And my skin has gotten a little thicker. A little bit.
From what we've seen from Mike Schilt, he tends to push back as well. And you've said in the past, and I think you're getting better at this as well, you can be a little petty. And I'm starting to wonder if the ideal season for Mike Schilt now would be to always win every series but never sweep anything. And still, like, get to the playoffs.
Just so
at the end you can see. I told you we didn't need to sweep anything. You just win series. I'll take that all year long. No problem.
Just throwing games out of spite. Can you imagine? Like, what is he doing? Listen, sometimes it doesn't go your way.
Yep. Yeah, you got to tape a cap to the other team. I mean, we can't sweep every series.
I'm not going to alibi it for you, Benny, but that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Now, I think in professional sports, the last person that can be spiteful is the leader, the boss,
yes.
Right? Like the manager cannot be spiteful. He can get pissy. No, I'll say this, Ben. When someone tells me, not constructive criticism about the show, like when somebody can say, like, hey, man, have you ever thought about this bit working better here or not doing that? That's fine. I have no problem with that. Like, those are your preferences. We can talk about preferences. But when you tell me I don't know what I'm doing, that's a different story altogether. And I think Mike Schilt sometimes gets the feeling like, do you guys not know that I know this game? Do you not also know that I know this team and what they're capable of? And do you also know we're 50, 60 games in together? We got some time to, like, for it to all filter out. So I can understand that a little bit.
And at this moment, he does feel like everything he said has been correct.
Correct.
From spring training on, hey, we're not going to be our best. We're going to continue to get better, continue to play better baseball. We're just concerned about winning series. That's going to get us where we need to go.
Correct.
If we keep playing the way we're playing. And every time the Padres drop one of these, you know, series finales where they could have swept or have a bad series as fans, we tend to, all right, this is the bottom dropping out. And Mike Shildes is going, this is baseball. This is not baseball. The bottom dropping
it's
out
not.
Of the season. We're playing good baseball. I expect us to continue playing good baseball. And for now, the Padres have been doing that. They've been playing good baseball, and we will talk about the good baseball they played for pretty much, you know, 26 innings this weekend in Kansas City. And not that they played bad baseball to lose it, but they didn't get the pitching that they needed in the final inning to complete that sweep. But we'll go through all of it as we do on Monday, starting with our Padres wrap-up here at the bottom of the hour, 6:35. We'll talk about yesterday's loss, which can't really be discussed without the context of the first two games. So, you know, it's kind of a holistic discussion, as Mike Shildes would say, of the weekend that was in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's literally impossible to talk about yesterday's loss without talking about Friday, but we'll attempt, I guess, to do it. We don't have to. We can go a more holistic approach today as well. You know what I mean?
Obviously, injuries were a big story this weekend. We'll get into the moves. Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish going on the IL, and what the Padres could do to try to bridge the gap until one or both of those guys can get healthy and get back into the starting rotation. We'll do that at 7 o'clock. Play a little Take on Woods for you at 7:10. At 7:20, we're going to bring you that Tommy Pham audio.
Fantastic.
During Don't Do This.
Yep.
I don't think Woods actually thinks it's a Don't Do This,
nope.
But somehow we have to get yesterday's Tommy Pham audio into the program. If you haven't heard it.
It's incredible. It's absolutely staggering.
It goes into the lore of
Tommy Pham.
Tommy Pham.
Yeah.
All the good, the
all
bad,
the, good, the, bad. Yeah,
the weird,
yeah.
and really the prickly that is Tommy Pham.
He's incredible.
Did it again yesterday with the Chicago White Sox, so we'll play that audio coming up at 7:20. We'll continue discussing the Padres in our second half of the program. Back to a Monday, no Monday show last week, so in-season Sam Levitt, hosting some pre- and post-game shows, although did he take one of the days off, Adam, over the weekend? I saw Scraby on one of the shows.
Sammy did pregame on Saturday and then took off for postgame. He had a wedding to attend.
Oh. A local wedding.
Yes.
Wow. Good for Sammy.
He was fretting on Friday with the weather and a potential delay or a doubleheader. If Friday got canceled, I said,
just
take it off.
Take your day off. You're fine. And we all know he's a hard worker. He's great.
Very hard worker.
We'll talk
to him. Join us at 8:35. At 9 o'clock, we'll cross our fingers. Do you have a Klug report coming for us at 9 o'clock?
Do I have to?
Yes.
Kind of, yes. You do. You sort of do. And then 9:35, start looking ahead to the Angels series that begins tonight. Three games at the Big A Angel Stadium in Anaheim, all 6:38 starts. Padres taking on a team that they should be beating.
Yep.
You know, maybe even sweeping.
Yep.
But I know Mike Shildes is going to say, just, you know,
win the series.
Yeah. Two out of three. We're good with that. And it's like, we're all going to say, but this is the Angels. They've lost five in a row. Just go ahead and win all of them.
Just take them
down. And Michael will be, all we need to do is win series, and that's fine, and we're doing what we need to do. So I think we're heading down that same road. Or it'll be like the Rockies series, and it'll be complete meltdown if you don't win the series or, God forbid, get swept by the Angels. So, of course, we're all nervous now heading into this series. Nothing good can really happen against the Angels. Only bad things can happen against the Los Angeles Angels. So we'll kind of preview that coming up. This hour on Ben & Woods is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food from a healthier weight to more energy. When you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. And I want to remind everybody, since we are now just over 2 weeks away from the third annual-ish Chrome Tour Ben & Woods Open. Signups are still open. We have a few foursomes left if you'd like to join us. It's going to be a really fantastic day on Wednesday, June 19th at Goat Hill Park in Oceanside. We've got food, we've got drinks, we've got prizes, we've got some great raffle items that you can win when you come out, but you do have to sign up to be there. Please, if you don't have a foursome, sign up as a twosome or by yourself.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law signed up this weekend as a twosome. I said, well, find you two good tier ones to play with while you're there. Chance to win lots of Callaway stuff as well while you're out there, but please check out our social channels and sign up, or just Google it. third annual-ish Chrome Tour Bennett Woods Open and sign up for our golf tournament coming up on June 19th. That's a Wednesday. We have both morning and afternoon waves available, so an 8 a.m. shotgun if you want to play early. You've got a 1 o'clock shotgun if you'd like to play in the afternoon. We'll be there, me, you, and Paulie,
yep.
All day long.
All day long.
Just mingling with the Tier 1s and having a really good time, so looking forward to that. 2 weeks from Wednesday, already June is here. We finally made it through May, and we got into June here.
Finally. All right, let's get it.
All right, let's come back. We will get to our Padres wrap-up highlights of yesterday's tough 4-3 loss to the Kansas City Royals in the bottom of the ninth inning. Update on Luis Arraez, what we've heard from Mike Shildt on the injury he suffered in the fifth inning. All coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station. Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Long day for yours truly. I just found out they need me to anchor the 11 p.m. news tonight on Channel 10. So if you want to stay up and
I don't
see me, put the tie on and do the whole shooting match.
God. So you'll do your sports
at the end like I normally do, but after I've done everything else before that too.
Wow.
Solo too. Just
shut
solo.
Up.
Yeah.
No help.
No help. It's the Ben Higgins newscast tonight at 11
Can
p.m.
you imagine
on Channel 10.
The bitching that I would do if I had to do that. Can you, Adam?
I mean,
yes,
I don't have to.
Yes, I can.
Yeah,
I don't have to write all of it. I mean, I write my own sportscast and I edit all my own material. But when it comes to the newscast, there is a producer and writers, and I just read the prompter on that. I mean, I'll have to go through it just to make sure I pronounce everything correctly. But
I'm Ben Higgins.
Yeah, my Ron Burgundy night tonight.
That is a lot.
On the news.
That is a lot. That's a
I
lot.
Enjoy. I actually enjoy the opportunities to, get into full newscaster mode sometimes.
Lisa says, after the once a week bitching for the roundtable, we can all imagine that. It's, yes, I know. I've said it before. I like the roundtable. Once I'm done with it, I'm like, I had a great time. It's just that 5-hour day. And like talking about the same thing over and over for 5 hours straight sucks. That's the only thing. And the polo. Those are the only things that suck. That's it. Everything else is great.
Let it be known, I did not tell you you have to wear the polo.
I know. Our boss did.
All of our bosses. Even Adam's boss.
Even Adam's boss.
Even Adam has to answer to someone. You thought that maybe Adam was the number one man here at Odyssey. He is actually not.
Absolutely not.
There is a higher chain of command above all of us here. All right, Adam's going to play us our Padres wrap-up right after a check of traffic with Kelly here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
3-for-5 with a two-run homer, an RBI single, and a double. Swings at the first pitch, muscles it out to left field. It'll be caught by Jerickson Profar, but plenty deep to get Garcia home. A sack fly for Pasquantino, and the Royals have the first run of the day. Here's the 0-1. Hit hard through the right side, and a base hit. Frazier charging. Zocar will round third on his way. The throw, not in time. Throw to second, the tag, and Arraez is out. One scores, and it's a 1-1 game. But now Arraez looks like he may be hurt, sitting on the ground near second base. Serpa, long look in. Now the payoff pitch. And Tatis hits it sharply up the middle into center field, and a base hit. Wade will come in to score, and the Padres lead for the first time today, 2-1 here in the eighth.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's execution at its finest.
0-2. Manny stings it into right field. That's a base hit. Frazier has to go way to his right to get it. Fernando's going to come in and score easily. Merrill will stop at third. An RBI single for Machado. And the Padre lead is now 3-1. 1-1 the pitch. Velasquez hits it in the air to center field. Pretty well struck. Merrill's back. Still going back. On the run. Looks up. Hits off the base of the wall. That's going to tie the game. Pasquantino has scored. Blanco is on his way. Velasquez trying for three. He's there with a two-run triple. Is set. Here's the pitch. Lofton swings. Hits it in the air to right field. Fernando backing up. Fighting the sun. Getting ready to make the catch. Velasquez tagging. Here's the throw to the plate. No chance. A sack fly for the Royals. They walk it off with a three-run ninth inning and avoid the sweep here at Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah, good ball game. Hats off to Wadey.
you know, it's gotten played in a while and goes in for Luis, to your question earlier, and, you know, immediately makes a great play, big base hit, get the inning started, you know, then draws a pickoff throw because he's a threat to run, gets to third, you know, Toddy drives him home, you know, then good situational hitting by Pro. But, yeah, of course, Arise had the RBI single earlier. Michael King was fantastic and got through seven, tough lineup. Dalo got his guys in the eighth, and we just weren't able to bring it home.
That sucks, man. And we are not used to watching the Padres blow games in the ninth inning. We're just not. It's just not something that is that has happened this season for us.
I think there's probably people out there are going, come on, they've had some bullpen struggles recently. Yeah. Are you telling me that they haven't blown games? Well, when they've had a lead of two or more runs going into the ninth inning, the Padres had won 68 straight games until yesterday.
That's why it stings so badly. I mean, it just stung so badly. I was playing. The Tier 1s had a doubleheader yesterday, and we had it on in the dugout. We had just won game one, and we are huddled around the phone watching the end of it. And you watched Yuki Matsui yesterday. There were some really uncompetitive pitching, and again, to Salvador Perez. So, I mean, yeah, you want to be a little bit careful, but at some point, you've got to just throw your best stuff and let it eat, man, at some point. And I don't know. I think it's a confidence issue with Yuki right now. But again, a lot of people were on Shilt yesterday. A lot of people texted me about it, DM'd me about it. And man, you know kind of where I stand on it. Yuki Matsui's got to get those outs there. And they were put in a really tough position on Friday night with Stephen Kolek not being able to hold an 8-run lead. And the ripple effect of all of that catches up. Now, we can argue this morning. Adam and I weren't arguing, but we were talking about it this morning. I thought that was the exact right call. I really did. For what you had on your plate, that was the exact right call for yesterday's game. You got exactly what you needed from everybody else. Michael King was fantastic. The offense scoring and scratching out runs against a great, great young left-handed pitcher in Cole Reagans, having a chance to win that game. 68, Ben. 68 straight with a 2-run lead in the ninth.
And by the way, the Royals had lost 49 straight when trailing by two or more.
It's unbelievable.
Going
man.
Into the ninth.
It's
inning.
Unbelievable. And that's why it stings so badly. You feel like you had a sweep in your hands and kind of let it slip through your fingers. And with Yuki Matsui, man, I just don't know. And, you know, you thought you kind of had the back end of the bullpen set up, man, but sometimes situations call for things, and we saw that on Friday, we saw it on Saturday, and we're going to get into all of that as well. We can take your calls on it as well. If you want to get it off your chest, I totally understand. But I really don't have a problem with the way it was managed yesterday. That's what you were going to do there.
I agree. If I had drawn it up before the game, I said,
sure.
All right, Michael King for seven, and then you've got a lead, probably Aniel De Los Santos in the eighth, and I would say Yuki Matsui in the ninth. And part of it's because he's closed before in Japan,
yep.
So it's not like he's never been in a game in the ninth inning needing to close it down. He's done it a ton in Japan. Now, it's different here, but I wasn't that worried about the experience factor. He's also been throwing really well lately. He had over, I think, seven consecutive scoreless innings. He got the win on Friday night with a really clean 1-2-3 inning before the Padres made their big rally. And as you said, you can't really discuss yesterday's game without the context of the rest of the weekend. And I mentioned, if you really want to blame someone, I really think the fact that A.J. Preller is insisting on keeping Stephen Kolek, the Rule 5 draft pick, on the roster because he doesn't want to give him back to the Seattle Mariners played a role in it. Mike Shildt kind of has to use every pitcher at some point. And the only time right now you feel it's comfortable to use Stephen Kolek is at a huge margin, whether you're up big or down big. So that was the time you were going to use him. Don't burn another arm. Use Stephen Kolek. The other team's already gone to a position player.
Correct.
So go ahead. Use your last guy in the bullpen there. And he was unable to even keep your closer from having to come into the game on Friday. Then if you want to split hairs, you could have said, well, he could have saved Robert Suarez on Saturday with a 4-run lead in the ninth inning. I didn't have a problem with him bringing Suarez in with a four-run lead in the ninth inning, either against the, you know, the heart of the Kansas City Royals order. You want to make sure you win that game.
Bro, it's right there for you. You have to take that. And I know it sucks, and I know people are yelling at their radios right now, but when you have a chance to win that game again, as you mentioned, the heart of the order coming up, after what you saw the night before, like, and you managed to win that game, you have to take that dub and take that series win. And I understand that it maybe wasn't, it led to that position that we did not want to be in yesterday, needing our closer, who has been phenomenal. But I just think that it was all the right move set up by a real inability to get guys out by Stephen Kolek. So I went this morning and I was like, all right, I want to know what would the potential reason to keep Stephen Kolek on the roster B. And I, you know, listen, I don't want to pin all of this on him, but I'm looking at his numbers and stuff, Ben. I'm looking at his pitch mix and everything else. I mean, the only thing I can see is he's a pretty elite guy at getting ground balls. I mean, he gets ground balls at a very, very high rate, which is a very valuable skill to have at the big league level. That night, he got hit really hard. He did. And I was looking at there's a guy, if you guys don't follow him, he's amazing. His letters to AJ, it's on
Substack. Craig has him on a couple of times on the show.
He's phenomenal. So I was reading his latest piece this morning called Opportunity Costs, and one of the little subsets is Mop Up Mayhem, and they showed the exit velo from the guys off of Kolek, giving up 5 earned runs on hard contact. 97.5. Now there's 69 mile an hour in there. 105, 101, 103, 102, 87, 104. Just ineffective, man. Just ineffective. And had he been able to just hold that lead, could have swept that series. Should have swept that series.
Yeah, here's the real question though. If you don't have Kolek on the roster, who are you bringing up?
Right.
I mean, right now you have Logan Gillespie already up.
Correct.
You have Randy Vasquez already up. You don't have a lot of ready-made better options in AAA who are going to take his spot. So it's not necessarily what do you love about Stephen Kolek. It's that
what you don't
if we
have.
Get rid of another pitcher, we don't have anyone really to replace him with. You know, Jackson Wolf, you want to bring in a guy who has struggled in the minor leagues to replace Kolek and give Kolek away. I understand the decision to keep him, and I understand the decision of Mike Schilt to have to occasionally use him if he's going to be on the roster. Here's the one that kind of stuck in my brain, though. Had Tom Cosgrove not struggled the way he did, if he pitched like last year and he was still here, and you were trying to keep Stephen Kolek, who wasn't on the roster earlier, you know, for the last month on the season? Jeremiah Estrada probably never gets up to the
Correct.
Big leagues if Tom Cosgrove doesn't struggle because you're trying to keep Stephen Kolek. Now, that you did have someone that you were excited about and you would have left him dying in AAA because you wanted to keep Stephen Kolek on the roster. Now, with some injuries, Estrada's already here. I don't know that anyone else is knocking on the door necessarily. It's not as big of a deal to me that Stephen Kolek is on the roster.
Yeah, people are throwing names in the chat, and I mean, we can answer them one at a time if you want. Somebody said, what about Kevin Copps? Kevin Copps has walked 19 hitters in 25 innings. That's not good. That can't happen. So, obviously, some control issues there.
Alec Jacob has struggled, I believe, at AAA this season as well. I mean,
I feel like if there was somebody that was banging down the door like Estrada did, I feel like that they would be here. I see people saying, is it a pride thing with AJ Preller?
I think the poker analogy, at some point you feel almost pot committed.
Pot committed.
Like, okay, we've already gone 2 months with this guy. If we can keep him for the rest of the season, we get to keep him. We can put him in the minor leagues again next year. And now we've wasted 2 months when now we're going to give him up for nothing. So that is essentially admitting that we made a huge mistake. If you give him back, then you should never have had him on the roster to begin with.
Yeah.
So there is you can call it pride, but you can also call it, at some point it becomes strategy and you're trying to get all the way through. If you want to nitpick, and there was one thing, and we both agreed on it, about Mike Schilt yesterday. And I said this before the game. I would have started Kyle Higashioka again.
I would
catch
too.
Her after he hit the home run and hit the ball hard on Saturday. Long day for yours truly. I just found out they need me to anchor the 11 p.m. news tonight on Channel 10. So if you want to stay up and
I don't
see me, you know, put the tie on and do the whole shooting match.
God. So you'll do your sports
at the end like I normally do, but after I've done everything else before that, too.
Wow.
Solo, too. Just
shut
solo.
Shut up.
Yeah.
No help?
No help. It's the Ben Higgins newscast tonight at 11
can
p.m. on Channel 10.
The bitching that I would do if I had to do that. Can you, Adam?
I mean,
yes.
I don't have to.
Yes, I can.
Yeah,
I don't have to write all of it. I mean, I write my own sportscast and I edit all my own material. But when it comes to the newscast, there is a producer and writers, and I just read the prompter on that. I mean, I'll have to go through it just to make sure I pronounce everything correctly. But
I'm Ben Higgins.
Yeah, my Ron Burgundy night tonight.
That is a lot.
On the news.
That is a lot. That's a
lot. I actually enjoy the opportunities to, you know, get into full newscaster mode sometimes.
Lisa says, after the once a week bitching for the roundtable, we can all imagine that. It's, yes, I know. I've said it before. I like the roundtable once I'm done with it. I'm like, I had a great time. It's just that 5-hour day. And like, talking about the same thing over and over for 5 hours straight sucks. That's the only thing. And the polo. Those are the only things that suck. That's it. Everything else is great.
Let it be known, I did not tell you you have to wear the polo.
I know. Our boss did.
All of our bosses.
Even Adam's boss.
Adam has to answer to someone. You thought that maybe Adam was the number one man here at Odyssey. He is not.
Absolutely not.
There is a higher chain of command above all of us here. All right, Adam is going to play us our Padres wrap-up right after a check of traffic with Kelly here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
3-for-5 with a 2-run homer, an RBI single, and a double. Swings at the first pitch, muscles it out to left field. It'll be caught by Jerickson Profar, but plenty deep to get Garcia home. A sack fly for Pasquantino, and the Royals have the first run of the day. Here's the 0-1. Hit hard through the right side, and a base hit. Frazier charging. Zokar will round third on his way. The throw, not in time. Throw to second, the tag, and Arise is out. One scores, and it's a 1-1 game. But now Arise looks like he may be hurt, sitting on the ground near second base. Serpa, long look in. Now the payoff pitch. And Tatis hits it sharply up the middle into center field, and a base hit. Wade will come in to score, and the Padres lead for the first time today, 2-1 here in the eighth.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's execution at its finest.
0-2. Manny stings it into right field. That's a base hit. Frazier has to go way to his right to get it. Fernando's going to come in and score easily. Merrill will stop at third. An RBI single for Machado. And the Padre lead is now 3-1. 1-1 the pitch. Velasquez hits it in the air to center field. Pretty well struck. Merrill's back. Still going back. On the run. Looks up. Hits off the base of the wall. That's going to tie the game. Pasquantino has scored. Blanco is on his way. Velasquez trying for three. He's there with a 2-run triple. Is set. Here's the pitch. Lofton swings. Hits it in the air to right field. Fernando backing up. Fighting the sun. Getting ready to make the catch. Velasquez tagging. Here's the throw to the plate. No chance. A sack fly for the Royals. They walk it off with a 3-run ninth inning and avoid the sweep here at Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah, good ball game. You know, hats off to Wadey. You know, it's gotten played. In a while and goes in for Luis, to your question earlier, and you know, immediately makes a great play, big base hit, get the inning started, you know, then draws a pickoff throw because he's a threat to run, gets to third, you know, Toddy drives him home, you know, then good situational hitting by Pro, but yeah, of course, Arise had the RBI single earlier, Michael King was fantastic, and cut through 7, tough lineup. DeLo got his guys in the 8th, and we just weren't able to bring it home.
Yeah, it sucks, man. And we are not used to watching the Padres blow games in the 9th inning. We're just not. It's just not something that is that has happened this season for us.
I think there's probably people out there are going, come on, they've had some bullpen struggles recently. Yeah. Are you telling me that they haven't blown games? Well, when they've had a lead of two or more runs going into the ninth inning, the Padres had won 68 straight games until yesterday.
That's why it stings so badly. I mean, it just stung so badly. I was playing. We the Tier 1s had a doubleheader yesterday, and we had it on in the dugout. We had just won game one, and we are huddled around the phone watching the end of it. And you watched Yuki Matsui yesterday. There were some really uncompetitive pitches. Pitching, and again, to Salvador Perez. So, I mean, yeah, you want to be a little bit careful, but at some point, you've got to just throw your best stuff and let it eat, man, at some point. And I don't know. I think it's a confidence issue with Yuki right now. But again, a lot of people were on Shilt yesterday. A lot of people texted me about it, DM'd me about it. And man, you know kind of where I stand on it. Yuki Matsui's got to get those outs there. And they were put in a really tough position on Friday night with Stephen Kolek not being able to hold an 8-run lead. And the ripple effect of all of that catches up. Now, we can argue this morning. Adam and I weren't arguing, but we were talking about it this morning. I thought that was the exact right call. I really did. For what you had on your plate, that was the exact right call for yesterday's game. You got exactly what you needed from everybody else. Michael King was fantastic. The offense scoring and scratching out runs against a great, great young left-handed pitcher in Cole Reagans. Having a chance to win that game. 68, Ben. 68 straight with a 2-run lead in the ninth.
And by the way, the Royals had lost 49 straight when trailing by two or more.
It's unbelievable.
Going
Ben.
Into the ninth.
It's
inning.
Unbelievable. And that's why it stings so badly. You feel like you had a sweep in your hands and kind of let it slip through your fingers. And with Yuki Matsui, man, I just don't know. And, you know, you thought you kind of had the back end of the bullpen set up, man, but sometimes situations call for things, and we saw that on Friday, we saw it on Saturday, and we're going to get into all of that as well. We can take your calls on it as well. If you want to get it off your chest, I totally understand. But I really don't have a problem with the way it was managed yesterday. That's what you were going to do there.
I agree. If I had drawn it up before the game, I said,
sure.
All right, Michael King for seven, and then you've got a lead, probably Aniel De Los Santos in the eighth, and I would say Yuki Matsui in the ninth. And part of it's because he's closed before in Japan,
yep.
So it's not like he's never been in a game in the ninth inning needing to close it down. He's done it a ton in Japan. Now, it's different here, but I wasn't that worried about the experience factor. He's also been throwing really well lately. He had over, I think, seven consecutive scoreless innings. He got the win on Friday night with a really clean 1-2-3 inning before the Padres made their big rally. And as you said, you can't really discuss yesterday's game without the context of the rest of the weekend. And I mentioned, if you really want to blame someone, I really think the fact that A.J. Preller is insisting on keeping Stephen Kolek, the Rule 5 draft pick, on the roster because he doesn't want to give him back to the Seattle Mariners played a role in it. Mike Shildt kind of has to use every pitcher at some point. And the only time right now you feel it's comfortable to use Stephen Kolek is at a huge margin, whether you're up big or down big. So that was the time you were going to use him. Don't burn another arm. Use Stephen Kolek. The other team's already gone to a position player.
Correct.
So go ahead. Use your last guy in the bullpen there. And he was unable to even keep your closer from having to come into the game on Friday. Then if you want to split hairs, you could have said, well, he could have saved Robert Suarez on Saturday with a 4-run lead in the ninth inning. I didn't have a problem with him bringing Suarez in with a 4-run lead in the ninth inning either against the heart of the Kansas City Royals order. You want to make sure you win that game.
Bro, it's right there for you. You have to take that. And I know it sucks, and I know people are yelling at their radios right now, but when you have a chance to win that game again, as you mentioned, the heart of the order coming up, after what you saw the night before, and you managed to win that game, you have to take that dub and take that series win. And I understand that it maybe wasn't it led to that position that we did not want to be in yesterday, needing our closer who has been phenomenal. But I just think that it was all the right move set up by a real inability to get guys out by Stephen Kolek. So I went this morning and I was like, all right, I want to know what would the potential reason to keep Steven Kolek on the roster be? And I, you know, listen, I don't want to pin all of this on him, but I'm looking at his numbers and stuff, Ben. I'm looking at his pitch mix and everything else. I mean, the only thing I can see is he's a pretty elite guy at getting ground balls. I mean, he gets ground balls at a very, very high rate, which is a very valuable skill to have at the big league level. That night, he got hit really hard. He did. And I was looking at there's a guy, if you guys don't follow him, he's amazing. His Letters to AJ. It's on
Craig has him on a couple of times on the show.
He's phenomenal. So I was reading his latest piece this morning called Opportunity Costs, and one of the little subsets is Mop Up Mayhem. And they showed the exit velo from the guys off of Kolek, giving up 5 earned runs on hard contact. 97.5. Now there's 69 mile an hour in there. 105, 101, 103, 102, 87, 104. Just ineffective, man. Just ineffective. And had he been able to just hold that lead, could have swept that series. Should have swept that series.
Yeah, here's the real question, though. If you don't have Kolek on the roster, who are you bringing up?
Right.
I mean, right now you have Logan Gillespie already up.
Correct.
You have Randy Vasquez already up. You don't have a lot of ready-made better options in AAA who are going to take his spot. So it's not necessarily what do you love about Steven Kolek. It's that
what you don't
if we
have.
Get rid of another pitcher, we don't have anyone really to replace him with. You know, Jackson Wolf, you want to bring in a guy who struggled in the minor leagues to replace Kolek and give Kolek away. I understand the decision to keep him, and I understand the decision of Mike Schilt to have to occasionally use him if he's going to be on the roster. Here's the one that kind of stuck in my brain, though. Had Tom Cosgrove not struggled the way he did, if he pitched like last year and he was still here, and you were trying to keep Steven Kolek, who wasn't on the roster earlier, you know, for the last month on the season? Jeremiah Estrada probably never gets up to the big leagues if Tom Cosgrove doesn't struggle because you're trying to keep Steven Kolek. Now, that you did have someone that you were excited about and you would have left him dying in AAA because you wanted to keep Steven Kolek on the roster. Now, with some injuries, Estrada's already here. I don't know that anyone else is knocking on the door necessarily. It's not as big of a deal to me that Steven Kolek is on the roster.
Yeah, people are throwing names in the chat, and I mean, we can answer them one at a time if you want. Somebody said, what about Kevin Copps? Kevin Copps has walked 19 hitters in 25 innings. That's not good. That can't happen. So, obviously, some control issues there.
Alec Jacob has struggled, I believe, at AAA this season as well. I mean,
I feel like if there was somebody that was banging down the door like Estrada did, I feel like that they would be here. I see people saying, is it a pride thing with AJ Preller? I think
the poker analogy, at some point you feel almost pot committed.
Pot committed.
Like, okay, we've already gone 2 months with this guy. If we can keep him for the rest of the season, we get to keep him. We can put him in the minor leagues again next year. And now we've wasted 2 months when now we're going to give him up for nothing. So that is essentially admitting that we made a huge mistake. If you give him back, then you should never have had him on the roster to begin with.
Yeah.
So there is you can call it pride, but you can also call it, at some point it becomes strategy and you're trying to get all the way through. If you want to nitpick, and there was one thing, and we both agreed on it, about Mike Schilt yesterday. And I said this before the game. I would have started Kyle Higashioka again.
I would
catcher
too.
After he hit the home run and hit the ball hard on Saturday. And he hasn't really had a chance to play consistently. And Luis Camposano has struggled at the plate. It would have been okay for me to give him 2 days in a row off.
Campy struggled behind the plate as well.
Yes.
I mean,
and give Higashioka another chance. Now, would that have made a difference in the game? I don't know. I mean, Campy didn't do anything. Higashioka might not have done anything either. But I would have ridden the hot hand and given my backup 2 days in a row and really let Campy kind of clear his head and get a full 2 days off. He's worked a lot this year.
Yes.
It really would have been fine for me to give him another day off. But maybe, I don't know, maybe King is more comfortable with Campy. King threw well, and you've got to give Campy some credit for that.
For sure. With
what he did for the starting pitcher. So I don't know that would have made a difference, but I would have thought, I would have considered. But then, of course, then you'd had him today with Waldron going, and that would have been three in a row.
So maybe
that was part of the equation.
But, I mean, you're not dancing around on purpose, but you're basically saying that there's a problem behind the dish with this team, and it's a severe one right now, really. I mean, Luis Camposano is not playing well on really either side of the ball. And I think, you know, we're all fine with maybe not the world's world beater catcher offensively, but man, defensively, Campy, all his numbers have come way down. He's like the second worst catcher in baseball defensively right now. And I'm talking defensive run saved. I'm talking framing. I'm talking the inability to throw anybody out. I'm talking all of it, all of it. And then you throw in his 5 for 50, which is the streak he's on currently. We've got a little bit of a problem here behind the dish. So hopefully these guys can get it figured out, man, and get the rotation works. But I see everybody up Kyle Higashioka's butt, and the guy gets 7 starts a month, essentially. And it's like, man, he's middle of the road defensively, which we'll take that defensively right now.
Craig Elston made the point in the roundtable last week that if you are starting to look ahead to the trade deadline where the Padres could need some help, catcher is a position you now have to consider as somewhere you can upgrade. Now, Adam, you said you were looking at who are some of the guys who are available, maybe on teams that are struggling. It's not a great list of names that could be available on the trade market.
Well, the idea that you want to upgrade at catcher means a better catcher has to be available, and there just aren't that many. I don't think the Braves would trade their backup catcher, Travis d'Arnaud. He's a team leader. They paid him a lot of money. Murphy's been hurt. I was looking at some last place teams. I mean, Elias Diaz in Colorado seems like an option. He's a rental player, so he'll be a free agent at the end of the
year. Trading in the division, though. Who knows if they'll do that?
Danny Jansen's having a pretty solid year for the Blue Jays. Another rental player going into free agency. Blue Jays are in last place.
They just said, though, they're not trading Guerrero or Bichette, even though there's interest. Will they trade other guys at some point? Maybe.
And, you know, Logan O'Hoppe, if you think the Angels just are perpetually terrible and might trade somebody, but he's pre-arb, so he's got plenty of control left, which makes him, you know, under control, and maybe not. It would take a lot to trade for him and pry him away from the Angels.
He's having a good year, really good year. So, yeah.
But that's who you try to build around if you're the Angels 100%. And you're struggling. You don't trade those guys away.
Correct.
You try to acquire more of those guys when you're in a position that the Angels are in. We can scout them out the next couple of days. We'll talk more. So you heard the Arise injury. We'll give you that update and talk about Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove and what the Padres have got to do to stay afloat in their pitching rotation. Coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.